sahanavatu, sahanau punaktu, sahavirya karavavahai, tejasvinavatitamastu ma vidvishavahai. Om shanti shanti shanti. Om ganana antwa ganapati gum havamahe kavin kavinam upamashravasamam jeshtarajam brahmanam brahmanasvata anashrinvanuti pirsita satanam Om maha ganapataye namaha Om namaste astu bhagavan vishveshwaraya mahadevaya trayambakaya tripurandakaya trikalagnikalaya kalagnirudraya nilakantaya mrityunjayaya sarveshwaraya sadashivaya shriman mahadevaya namaha Om Trayambakaya Jamahe Sugandhim Pushtivartanam Urvarukamiva Bandhanan Mrityor Mukshiyamam Mrita Ata Om Shanno Mitra Shangvarunaha Shanno Pavatvarayama Shanna Indro Brahaspatihi Shanno Vishnururukramaha Namo Brahmane, Namaste Vayo, Twameva Pratyaksham Brahmasi, Twameva Pratyaksham Brahma Vadishyami, Ratam Vadishyami, Satyam Vadishyami, Tanmamavatu, Tavaktaram Avatu, Avatu Mam, Avatu Vaktaram. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Om Sahanavavatu Sahanau Punaktu Sahaviryam Karavavahai Tejasvinavatitamastu Ma Vidvishavahai Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Om yaschandasam rishapo vishvarupaha chando pyo chamrata atsam bhapuva samindro metaya aspranotu amritasya devatarano bhuyasam shariram me vicharshanam jyakwa me matumattama Karunaha nam puri vishruvam brahmana koshosi me taya pihitaha shrutam me gopaya om shanti 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 om aham vrikshasya reriva kirti prashtangire riva Urdhva pavitro vajini vasvamritamasmi dravina gumsa varchasam sumedha amritokshitaha iti trishankor vedanu vachanam om shanti 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 om purnamada purnamidam purnat purnamudachyate Purnasya, Purnamadaya, Purnameva Vasishyate, Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi, Om Apyayantu Mamangani Vak Pranas Chakshu Shrutramato Balamindriyani Chasaravani, Sarvam Brahma Upanishadam, Maham Brahma Nirakuryam, Mama Brahma Nirakaro, Anirakaranam Astva Nirakaranam Me Astu, Tadatmani Nirateya Upanishatsu Dharmas Te Mai Shantu, Om Shanti 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 Om vam me manasit pratishtita, mano me vachit pratishtitam, avira virma eti, vedasya maani istaha, shrutam me ma prahasihi, anena titena, aho ratran santatami, ratam vadishyami, satyam vadishyami, tanmam avatu, tadvaktaram avatu, avatu mam, avatu vaktaram, avatu vaktaram. Om shanti 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 hi. Om bhadranno apivataya manaha. Om shanti 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 hi. Om bhadran karne vishrinuyama devaha. Bhadram pashe makshapiryajatraha. Sirairangai istushtuvagum sastanubihi vyashema devahitanyadayuhu swastina indro vrittashravaha swastina pusha vishwavedaha swastina starcho arishtanemihi swastino brahaspatir tadantu. Om shanti shanti shanti.
Okay, we'll work a little bit on these today. Next week we're going to start with a new one. Okay, a few more weeks on these. Go to page 4, the bottom of page 4. Om Apyayantu. Okay. Anybody see it? Bottom of page 4. Om Apyayantu. So repeat after me. Repeat twice after me. Okay. Om Apyayantu Mamangani.
Om Apyayantu Mamangani. Om Apyayantu Mamangani.
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 Om Apyayantu Mamangani.
Om Apyayantu Mamangani.
Om Apyayantu Mamangani.
Om
Vak Pranas Chakshu Shrotram.
Vak Pranas Chakshu Shrotram.
Again. Vak Pranas Chakshu Shrotram.
Vak Pranas Chakshu Shrotram.
Ato Balamindriyani Chasarvani.
Ato Balamindriyani Chasarvani.
Ato balamindriyani cha sarvani.
Ato balamindriyani cha sarvani.
Sarvam brahma upanishadam.
Sarvam brahma upanishadam. Sarvam brahma upanishadam.
Maham brahma nirakuryam.
Maham brahma nirakuryam.
Maham brahma nirakuryam.
Maham brahma nirakuryam.
Maham nirakuryam.
Nirakuryam.
Mama brahma nirakarot.
Mama brahma nirakarot.
Anirakaranam astu anirakaranam me astu. Anirakaranam astu anirakaranam
me astu. Anirakaranam astu anirakaranam.
Anirakaranam astu anirakaranam.
Anirakaranam astu anirakaranam.
Me astu.
Me astu.
Anirakaranam astu anirakaranam me astu.
Anirakaranam astu anirakaranam me astu.
Tadatmani nirateya upanishatsu. Tadatmani Nirateya Upanishatsu.
Tadatmani
Nirateya Upanishatsu. Tadatmani Nirateya Upanishatsu. Tadatmani Nirateya Upanishatsu. Taramaste Mayi Santu.
Taramaste
Mayi Santu.
Taramaste Mayi
Santu. Te Mayi Santu.
Te Mayi Santu.
Te Mayi Santu. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.
Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.
Do this one together. Om apyayantu mamangani vakranas chakshur shrotram ato balamindriyani cha sarvani sarvam brahma upanishadam maham brahma nirakuryam mama brahma nirakarot anirakaranam asvanirakaranam me astu Tadatmani Nirateya Upanishatsu Dharmas Te Mayi Santu Te Mayi Santu Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Just get after me twice again. Om Om Vang Me Om Vang Me Manasi Pratishthita Om Vang Me Manasi Pratishthita Om Vang Me Manasi Pratishthita Mano Me Vachi Pratishthitam
Mano Me Vachi Pratishthitam
Aviravir Maedhi
Aviravir Maedhi Aviravir Maedhi
Vedasya Maani Istaha
Vedasya Maani Istaha
Vedasya Ma'ani Istaha
Vedasya Ma'ani Istaha Vedasya Ma'ani Istaha
Shrutam Me Ma Prahasihi
Shrutam Me Ma Prahasihi Shrutam Me Ma Prahasihi
Anena Chitena
Anena
titena Anena titena
Anena titena Anena titena
Ahoratran santatami
Ahoratran santatami Ahoratran santatami
Ratang vadishyami
Satyam vadishyami
Tanmamavatu
Tanmamavatu Tanmamavatu
Tadbhaktaramavatu
Tadbhaktaramavatu Tadbhaktaramavatu
Avatu mam
Avatu mam,
Avatu vaktaram, Avatu vaktaram,
Avatu vaktaram, Avatu vaktaram, Avatu vaktaram, Avatu vaktaram.
Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.
Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.
Together. Om Vang Me Manasi Pratishthita Mano Me Vachi Pratishthitam Aviravir Maedhi Vedasya Maani Istaha Shrutam Me Ma Prahasihi Anena Titena Ahoratran Santatami Ratam Vadishyami Satyam vadishyami tanmamavatu tadvaktaramavatu avatu mam
Abhatu Bhaktaram, Abhatu Bhaktaram. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Om Patranno Apivataya Manaha. Om Patranno Apivataya Manaha. Om Patranno Apivataya Manaha. Om
Patranno Apivataya Manaha.
Again.
Om Patranno Apivataya Manaha.
Again.
Om
Shanti Shanti Shanti.
Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.
Let's do that together. Om Patranno Apivataya Manaha. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Om Patran Karne Vishrinu Yama Devaha. Twice.
Om Patran Karne Vishrinu Yama Devaha. Om
Patran Karne Vishrinu Yama Devaha. Om Patran Karne Vishrinu Yama Devaha. Om Patran Karne Vishrinu Yama Devaha. Patram Pashe Makshabhir Yajatraha.
Patram Pashe Makshabhir Yajatraha.
Patram Pashe Makshabhir Yajatraha.
Patram Pashe Makshabhir Yajatraha.
Okay. I'm going to break this down a little bit. Patram Pashe, Patram Pashe, Makshabhir,
Makshabhir,
Yajatraha,
Yajatraha,
Patram Pashe, Makshabhir,
Patram Pashe, Makshabhir,
Yajatraha,
Yajatraha,
Patram Pashe, Makshabhir, Yajatraha.
Patram
Pashe Makshabhir Yajatraha.
Patram Pashe Makshabhir
Yajatraha.
Yajatraha.
Together. Patram Pashe Makshabhir Yajatraha. Patram Pashe Makshabhir Yajatraha. Patram Pashe Makshabhir Yajatraha. Stirai Rangai East. Stirai Rangai East. Stirai Rangai East. Tishtuvagum. Stirai Rangai Istushtuvagum. Stirai Rangai Istushtuvagum Sastanupihi.
Stirai Rangai Istushtuvagum Sastanupihi.
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 Stirai Rangai Istushtuvagum Sastanupihi. Vyashema devahitam yadayuhu. Vyashema devahitam. Devahitam. Yadayuhu. Vyashema devahitam. Vyashema devahitam.
Vyashema devahitam.
Yadayuhu.
Yadayuhu.
Vyashema devahitam. Yadayuhu.
Vyashema devahitam. Yadayuhu.
So pretty. Swastina in Swastina Indro Vrittashravaha. Swastina Indro Vrittashravaha. Swastina Indro Vrittashravaha. Swastina Indro Vrittashravaha. Swastina Indra Vrittashravaha. Swastina Pusha Vishwavedaha. Swastina Pusha Vishwavedaha. Swastina Pusha Vishwavedaha. Swastina Pusha Vishwavedaha.
Swastina Pusha Vishwavedaha.
Pusha, Pusha. Swastina Pusha Vishwavedaha. Swastina Pusha Vishwavedaha. Also, swasti, then nuf. That visarga takes an if sound. So, swasti nuf pusha vishwavedaha. Say swasti.
Swasti.
Swasti nuf.
Swasti nuf.
Pusha.
Pusha
Vishwavedaha.
Vishwa.
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 Vishwavedaha.
Vishwavedaha.
Vedaha. Swastin Vishwavedaha. Vishwavedaha. Vishwa. 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 Okay. Swastina Pusha Vishwavedaha. Swastina Pusha Vishwavedaha. Swastina Pusha Vishwavedaha. Swastinas initial. Swastinas Parksho. Swastinas Parksho. Swastinas Parksho.
Swastinas Parksho.
It's Ness. Nestarksho. Nestarksho. Tarksho. Tarksho. Okay. Swasti Nestarksho.
Swasti
Nestarksho.
Swasti Nestarksho.
Swasti Nestarksho.
Swa. Swa.
Yeah, okay. Swasti Nestarksho. Arishtanemihi. 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 Swastina Starksho. Arishtanemihi.
Swastina Starksho. Arishtanemihi.
Swastino Brihaspatir Tatatu.
Swastino.
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 Brihaspatir.
Brihaspatir.
Tathatu. Brihaspatir tathatu.
Brihaspatir
tathatu.
Brihaspatir
tathatu.
Brihaspatir tathatu.
Swastino Brihaspatir tathatu. Om shanti shanti shanti.
Om shanti shanti shanti.
Om bhadram karne vishnu yama devah. Padram pashe makshabhir yajatraha. Stirai rangai istushtu vadum sastanubihi. Yashema devahitam yadayuhu. Swastina Indro Vrittashravaha. Swastina Pusha Vishwavedaha. Swastina Starksho Arishtanemihi. Swastino Brihaspatir Tathatu. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Okay.
Can I just ask a question?
Sure.
Vishwa.
Vishwa.
Why is the one wa and one is the in there? Vishwa.
Vishwa.
Vishwa Veda.
Oh, here it is. Third line down. Vishwa, that's a short V, V, and then Shwa, that's a Sh plus a V, so Vishwa, right? Vishwa.
Mm-hmm. Because of that Sh in front of it, it's a V.
Oh, yes. When the letter V, or actually the perfect pronunciation is W, but V and W, V changes to W in classical Sanskrit. It'll be V when it's surrounded by a consonant or in conjunct consonant with a semi-vowel. So like it would be Vadi or V, Vishwa. But when it's in conjunct consonant with anything but a semi-vowel, it takes the W sound. Like, for instance, you don't hear Svarupa. You hear Swarupa. Swarupa. Ishwara, not Ishvara. Ishwara, right? So when the V is in conjunct consonant with anything except a semi-vowel, it takes the W sound. When it's surrounded by vowels, or in with a semi-vowel, it'll take the V sound. So there you have, with the V, the first one, it's with a vowel. So V, Vishwa, right? Now, in Bengal, the V is always W. It doesn't matter what the, right? Everything's W. In some areas, there'll be more, somebody would say, Vishva. So you have to be ready for it and just know, most usually in classical Sanskrit and in Tamil, the Tamilians for sure, this Vowa difference is there. Okay, does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. I mean, again, I took it kind of the shanti, 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 because like if I can be clear about what the first shanti means and then the second one and then the third, then otherwise, it gets too repetitious for me.
The first shanti, we could say adhyatmika. Or we could actually go the other way. But we'll start with adhyatmika. Adhyatmika means, may I have peace in reference to myself. Means my body, my mind, my sense organs. May I be healthy. May my physical body be at peace. May my mind be at peace. So anything to do with me as a jiva. May I be at peace.
The first shanti.
Yeah, the first shanti. It can go the other way around.
Well, I thought you said before that was like, it was more out in the world. Okay.
Well, there, let me give the three. If we go adidaivikam as the first one, if you want, may I be free from all of the fates or the all of the, may all of the gods bless me, may all of the different lokas, the different beings in all of the lokas, all of the ghosts, everybody, all of the from the world of the devatas. May they all bless me. May none of them cause any problems for me. Then, adi bhautikam. That means all of the natural elements and creatures, you know, external to the body. All of the natural elements, like there could be hurricanes or thunderstorms or, you know, earthquakes or all kinds of different things in the world can happen to cause, to disrupt. And so may all those things be at peace. May none of those things disturb me or really become obstacles, pretty bundikas, obstacles to my knowledge. And then adhyatmika, in reference to just the jiva, may I be healthy. You know, may my mind be all right, may my sense organs be all right, everything that pertains to the jiva. May there be peace in all that arena. So the three shantis are really just trying to cover all of the different things in Ishwara, in the creation that could act as an obstruction to my gaining knowledge.
What was the third one again?
Well, if we go from the Bhagavan in, the third one is adhyatmika. So adidaivika, adibhautika, and adhyatmika.
So do we say these in the knowledge that this is not going to be the case? That everyone, that there's going to be, you know, adverse situations either in my body or the world or, you know.
No,
would we say it in the knowledge, knowing that that is the case, but we say, well, let them be relatively peaceful so that they're not an obstruction.
You're just praying to Ishwara. Like, say we're chanting these shanti patas.
we're praying, all the prayers are basically saying, may everything, please Bhagavan, may all situations be support my gaining knowledge. So you're just asking for that grace. You know? May I, even some of them, you know, may I have enough wealth, and may I have enough health, may I have good wealth and good health, and may our relationship be good so that this knowledge can take place. So it's just asking for Ishwara's grace. You ready? Okay, Atma Bodha, verse 32.
Dehanyatvan name janma, chara karshalayadayah, chara karshalayadayah, shabdari vishayai sangaha, nirindriyatiyanacha, dehanyatvan name janma, Dehanyatvan name janma, chara karshalayadayah, shabdadi vishayai sangaha, shabdadi vishayai sangaha, nirindriyatiyanacha.
Sandhi. Deha, anyatvat, dental to anyatvat, na me janma jara karsha, langa karsha, see the R there, karsha, laya, adayaha. Jara karsha laya adiyaha. Shabda adi vishayaihi sangaha nir indriyatiya necha. Okay?
Wait a minute.
Nir indriyatiya. The nearer is a preposition. It means without. It's not a word in itself. It's a preposition. Nearer indriyatiya. Okay? Everybody see it? Deha. Meaning. A word meaning. Deha. The body. Anya. Deha anya, other than, different. Deha anya, other than the body. It's a compound. Deha anya. Anya means other, so deha, body, other. It actually would break down. If I were to do the vigraha, the breakdown of the compound, it would be dehat from the body, anya, that which is other from the body. This is a compound, so those endings drop off. So deha anya. You would translate, other than the body. Now do you see the twat ending? That twa gives the ness of something, the being of something. And with twat, when it's in the twat or twaina, which would be the instrumental or ablative singular, often a way of translating that works is because of being. Because of being other than the body. And that ablative ending is showing reason, right, the cause. So because of being other than the body, dehanyat twat. So think of, you can even make a in your notes that twat or twaina can translate as because of being. Okay. So deha anyat twat, because of being other than the body, and you might just say because of not being the body, right, but because of being other than the body, may, for me, genitive singular of the pronoun aham, which we haven't learned yet. We haven't learned how to decline the pronouns, but may means of me, for me.
genitive singular. Not janma. Janma is a neuter noun, janman. And like naman, you haven't, I don't think you've learned the neuter yet of unending nouns, but janman means birth. Janma is the nominative singular. So there is no birth for me. Na me janma. Right? There is no birth for me. Dehanyatwat. Because of being other than the body. Because I'm not the body, there's no birth for me. Deha anyatvat na me janma. Okay? Jara. This is a compound. Jara, old age. Karsha is when the person becomes very weak and decrepit. So you go from old age, jara, aging old age, to jara, becoming decrepit, weak.
Karsha.
You go from old age to becoming decrepit to laya, dying, to death, going dissolution.
Decrepitude,
yeah. So jara, karsha, laya, adi, etc. So beginning with old age, decrepitude, so this whole set. Now, if you notice how in your edition, because when I was copying into the text that you have, I was using this text. I was wondering, why did they keep janma by itself? Why didn't they just make it as part of the compound? Two other editions do make it part of the compound. This way, that where instead of having janma be separate, it just puts janma, jara, karsha, layadiyaha. Either way is correct, because janma also is the nominative singular. So you can have janma by itself, like it does in this edition, which is the edition with the commentary I've been using. But in two other editions, it doesn't say janma space. It says, it puts janma as part of the compound. Now, that's good for me to be able to just tell you that now. What you'll find is that in all of the different editions, that Sanskrit editions of different texts, there will be certain little differences like this. And usually some editions will, and often this one will say, this is how it's done here, but in such and such an edition, they do it like this. There'll be a footnote. This book itself has many such footnotes. It doesn't happen to have a footnote for this particular one, even though when I looked up some other Sanskrit editions, because I had the doubt, I found that, yeah, in some places they do just make that as part of the compound. Either would be correct, because janma is nominative singular, neuter nominative singular, or it could be compounded. Everybody know what I'm talking about? So say if it was part of the compound, then it would go, because of not being the body, there is no birth, old age, decrepitude, or death for me. Where then it would be janma, jara, karsha, layadiyaha in the nominative plural, adi, adiyaha, harihi, hari, hariyaha. Okay? There, hari, hari, harihi, hari, hariyaha, adihi, adi, adiyaha. So here's the nominative plural. Janma, birth, old age, jara, karsha, decrepitude, laya, death, etc. Means all of the different states. The etc. includes all of the different states belonging to the body. Okay.
And jara, karsha, laya are all nominative singulars?
They are, because when you break it, this is all in part of the sandhi, it would be jara, jara cha, karsha cha, laya cha, you know, janma is neuter. Okay? So it'd be all put together with cha, this and this and this and this and this, etc. All of these are not, don't belong to me. There is no, right? That's it. There, literally, there is no for me. There is no birth for me. Why? Dehanyatvat. Because of being other than the body. Okay? Let's look at the next line. Shabda
adi vishayaihi, okay, shabda, sound. Adi, shabda adi, beginning with sound. Sound is the first sound is the first of the group of sense objects. You know, shabda, sparsha, rupa, rasa, gandha. Shabda means sound. Sparsha is touch. Rupa is form. Rasa is taste, you know. And gandha is smell. These are the five sense objects. Right? The things that we perceive through our ears. So, it says the vishayas are the objects.
Gandha?
Gandha. Don't worry. Smell. It's not here yet. I'm just asking.
Yeah, okay.
So, shabdadi. Well, the thing I wanted to make a point here is shabda is the first of the group, right? Beginning with sound, touch, form, taste, and smell. This is a group of five. So, shabdadi immediately brings into mind the whole five. So, shabdadi, vishaya. Vishaya is an object. So they're talking about the objects beginning with shabda. So it's another way of saying the sense objects, right? Yeah, the sense objects, the objects, the vishayas beginning with.
And then sometimes can shabda be taken as a word? Or is
yes.
In a different
yes. In a different context, it's taken as word.
Yes.
That's right. Sound or word. Good.
So, and also if it was shabdadi in word, then in sense it wouldn't make so much
right.
sense.
Right.
We don't have a list like that with word.
That's right. Perfect. So, vishayaihi, from vishaya, instrumental plural. Sangaha, attachment, connection. Right? Remember the meditation, asangoham. I am unattached. I am not connected with anything. Asangoham, asanga. Sangaha, attachment, connection. So here, here, sangaha, pick up the, look at all the, go to the end of the sentence, na. Necha. Okay, so that would mean, and there is no sangaha, nominative singular, there is no attachment or connection with the sense objects, with the objects beginning with shabda. Shabdadi vishayahi, with the objects beginning with shabda, shabda adi vishayahi, sangaha. There is no sangha. There is no attachment. Why? Nir indriyataya. Indriyata. Now, indriya means sense organs.
Mm-hmm.
Sense organs. Nir, without. Okay? The ta affix is feminine and it's the same as tuam. The tuam affix, this is something I'd like, I mean, we talk about this all the time. And we talk about it all the time because it comes up all the time. These are the affixes that make an abstract noun that show the ness or the state of being of something. So we have tuam, which is neuter. It's a neuter affix. And we have ta, which is a feminine affix. And then we have another formation that takes place within the noun, so I don't want to worry about these. These are that one. These are affixes that are added onto the noun. Okay, so if you have, remember I said, right over here.
And ta, it was ta?
Yeah, I'm going to put it here. Ta. But this is a neuter affix, and this is a feminine affix. And it's not that I don't know why they choose one after or another. I mean, you can put this affix on, either affix on any word.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But they both mean, as long as it makes sense. You're making an abstract of the word, right? So a state of being, or the nature of, or the ness of something, okay? So let me just show you something here. I remember I said, in the commentaries, you will often see either the third person, right? Third case, which would be instrumental, or you'll see the ablative case, because that'll translate due to or because of being. Remember when I said that? Like,
dehanyatva because of being other than the body. So that would be like a twaina. You see this twaina or twat ending very frequently. Okay? Because this would be the instrumental singular, and this would be the ablative singular. So here, where in this example, you have deha anyatvat, because of being. Okay. Here, what would be the ablative, the instrumental of a feminine ending, like shala? It would be taya. Right? Where if I had shala, say I had the word shala, it becomes shale, and to that the ah ending is added, and you get shalaya. Okay? So here with ta, if I have ta, something ending in ta, like, I'll do it here. If I have near, Nirindriyata, that's the word. ta becomes te, takes guna, plus a is taya. So what you see, taya, like shalaya, nirindriyata, nirindriyataya, is instrumental singular.
Okay, well, the applicative for the neuter. I was thinking Rama. Rama becomes Rama. So Twam.
Twam becomes.
What happens to the Ma?
Oh, I'm sorry. The affix is Twa.
Oh.
Okay, the affix is Twa, but it's neuter. Okay. So I put it in the neuter nominative singular. The affix is actually Twa.
Okay,
that's why. And this affix is Ta because it's feminine, right? So twam, the twa, because it's neuter, the nominative singular would be like dehanyatvam. Okay?
A palam?
Yeah, exactly. And twa, you know, like what palam, the neuter, is from the instrumental on down, is exactly like the masculine. Right. Anyway, I probably gave you a little bit too much there, but take a look again at the indriyataya. All I was trying to tell you there is I want you to look at the near indriya. The word near indriya. Near indriya means without indriyas, without the indriyas. Near indriya ta. The state of being without the indriyas. Near indriya tiya, instrumental singular. Because of being without indriyas. So tiya is the instrumental. Instrumental singular. And I said that to show as a causal, the instrumental and ablative can both show cause or reason. So the instrumental you say like due to being free of the indriyas, due to being without.
But why does it take feminine?
Because ta is a feminine affix.
No, but why is indriya defined as a feminine instrumental as opposed to our indriyas?
Oops, because indriya isn't being declined. Ta is being declined.
Right, but what is being declined is indriya ta, right?
And the ta has been added on to indriya. So now the word is not indriya, it's indriya ta.
Right, but how do we say that indriya becomes indriya ta as opposed to indriya twa?
It could become indriya twa also.
Oh, okay, in context, I see. Okay.
It depends on what affix you add. That's what I'm saying. Indriya twam is also correct.
Right.
But indriya ta is also correct, and they both make, there's two different affixes that can be added to a noun.
So we could have had indriya twain here as well.
Twaina.
Right.
Hindi.
So really it's saying that you're not the ness of the indriyas.
That's why you say the being,
yeah.
Because of not
just being without the
because of being without the indriyas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Could you go over this again?
Because of being without the body. Mm-hmm. Because of being, that's the state of being, right? Because of being one who has no indriyas. Because of being one who is other than the body. That's the state of being. I'll tell you what. It's easier if you will just accept from me these two things. That the tuam and ta, or the twa, I say tuam because of neuter, tuam and ta make abstract nouns. And when they're in the fifth and the third, and it, so that means the state of being for whatever it is. When they are when they're put in the third case or the fifth case, a way to to translate it, the Swamiji always translates this way. We learn this in grammar also, because of being, whatever that is. That's all I want you to know. Because of being or due to being. Okay? So I bring this up all the time. I'm just talking a little bit more about it today. Okay for everybody? So let's look at the meaning. Dehanyatvat name janma. May for me na janma. There is no birth. Dehanyatvat, because of being without the body. Jara, old age, karsha, decrepitude, laya, death, etc. is not for me because of being without the body. So you could say, that's why I'm saying that whole thing could be a compound if you wanted. You could just say birth, old age, decrepitude, death, all of these qualities and others because of the adi. They are not for me. Name. Deha anyatvat, because of being other than the body. Shabdadi vishyahi sangaha. Nir indriyatya nacha. Nasangaha, nacha, and nasangaha. There is no attachment. There is no sangha. There is no connection. With the objects, such as shabda, such as sound, etc. Okay? There is no attachment with the vishyas, beginning with sound. Nir indriyatya, taya, because of being. Third case. Because of being without indriyas. So that's the verse. Does everybody see?
Without sense organs.
Yeah, indriya, sense organs. Right.
Indriyas are automatically assumed to be with the body, though, right?
Yeah, but it's when you break down the sense organs are responsible for, you know, seeing. Yeah, for seeing these, but I have no... What I'm saying is I have no connection with these things at all because I have no sense organs, right? I'm not subject to... Then you look at the physical body. I'm not subject to the qualities of the physical body or the conditions of the physical body because I'm other than the physical body. I'm not subject to any of the connection between the seer and the seen, you know, to any of those attachments because the Atma, I am other than that. I have no indriyas because I'm different because of being without indriyas. Right, so if I'm without indriyas, I can't even see any of these things. I can't hear anything of these things. So there can't be any sangha or any attachment to any of these things because my being is free from them. Free from the sense organs. So I'm free from the sense organs. I can't be affected by the sense objects. Okay? Aminas twan name dukkha. Aminas twan name dukkha. Raga dvesha payadayaha. Raga dvesha payadayaha. Aprano yamanashubraha. Aprano yamanashubraha. Ityadi shruti shasanat. Ityadi shruti shasanat. Aminas twan name dukkha. Amanas twan name dukkha, raga dvesha payadayaha,
Raga dvesha payadayaha aprano himanashi praha aprano himanashi praha ityadi shruti shasanat ityadi shruti shasanat.
Did you notice how I improperly broke that sandhi on the first line? So we'll try chanting it without breaking the sandhi, okay?
Amanas tuan name tukha raga dvesha payadayaha. Amanas tuan name tukha raga dvesha payadayaha. Aprano yamanashibraha. Aprano yamanashibraha. Ityadi shruti shasanat. Ityadi shruti shasanat.
Okay, sandhi. Amanaha, oh sorry, amanas twat, na me dukkha raga dvesha bhaya adiyaha apranaha hi amanaha Shubraha iti adi shruti shasanat. Okay. This follows similar structure to the previous. Amanas twat, because of being. Amanaha, amanas. The word is manas. Okay? Manas is actually a neuter noun. But amanas, without the mind. Amanas twat, because of being without the mind. Amanas twat. Name, for me. Genitive singular. Na, not. There, because of not being the mind, because of being free from the mind, without the mind, because of not having a mind. Whatever you see all the different ways you want to. You see what it says in Sanskrit and then you translate it. Okay. So, because of being without the mind. Not for me. Name. Dukkha, sorrow, raga, passion or desire. When you say the raga was dvesha, you say the next one, dvesha. When you say raga, dvesha, that's often translated as likes and dislikes. The ragas are something I have a positive passion for. I want this. Dvesha is dislike or hatred. So raga, dvesha are the likes and dislikes. So that's normally how it's translated, raga, dvesha, likes and dislikes. So dukkha, sorrow, raga, dvesha, likes and dislikes, bhaya, fear, adiyaha, harihi, hari, hariyaha, namata, plural. So, because of being without the mind, because of not having a mind, for me there is no sorrow, likes and dislikes, fear, etc. This whole group of emotions or states, negative states of mind. The sorrow, likes and dislikes, all the things that really cause problems. None of these things are here for me. Now this is what we call a dvandva compound. It means that each member of the compound is joined together by the word cha. So it would be like sorrow and raga, dukkha and raga and dvesha and bhaya and others, right? So that's a particular type of compound where you're giving a list of things, and that list is put together by, it's held together by cha and. Another example of a common, two common dvandvas are raga dvesha. Just raga dvesha, likes and dislikes. That's an and in there. Sukha dukkha, pleasure pain. That's a dvandva. Right? Because the relationship between the two words is this and this. You see what I mean? So it could be Lakshmana and Sita and Ramana and Rama and Bharata. That's a dvandva, all held together by and. Okay. So here's our second example of a dvandva. So because of being free without a mind, for me, there is no dukkha, raga, dvesha, bhaya, etc. Nominative, plural.
Because I have, there's no mind, there's no...
Because the Atma is free from the mind. The Atma has no mind.
Right, that's what you're saying.
All these characteristics belong to the mind.
Right.
And since I have no mind,
right,
I don't have any of these characteristics. Right. Since those belong to the mind and I don't have a mind, I'm free from the characteristics that the mind has, or the problems, or affects, or qualities that the mind can have. Now look at this. Apranaha. Okay. Prana. This is actually a quote from the Mundaka that we've just had. Okay. Apranaha. One who is without prana. Nominative singular. It's actually talking about Brahman. This is a quote from the Mundaka Upanishad. They don't even acknowledge it directly. In the verse, they don't acknowledge it directly in the verse. It's because you're supposed to know that. It's acknowledged in a footnote. That they're giving just to be nice. But normally you would know when you see this, apranaha, yamanaha, shubraha, you recognize, iti puts these three things in quotes, you recognize from the Mundaka, and in fact we just did that verse. So apranaha, he who is without prana. He could be taken because. Amanaha. Now, amanaha is the masculine nominative singular of manas. Manas is a neuter noun. Okay? But amanaha is a masculine declension of manas because it's being used as this particular type of compound, like a bahuvrahi, which means for the one who has no mind. And that one is the Atma, or is Brahman. So for the one who is free from the mind, the Purusha, it actually goes to Purusha, Purushaha, which is in the verse. So Amanaha, it's in the nominative singular because it's being referred to the Purusha, and so it's the one who has no mind, he who has no mind, he who has no prana. Apranaha, Amanaha, Shubraha, the one who is pure. Iti. Now it's saying this quote, iti, ityadi, this quote, beginning with this quote, or this quote, thus, etc., ityadi, shruti, shasanat, compound, shasanat, ramat. The shasana is the teaching. So from the shasana, from the teaching of the shruti. Okay? Now look at this compound, just to make you understand. There's only two words here, Shruti and Shasana. Shruti Shasana. Shruti Shasanat. We know it's an ablative. So you say, from the teaching, and then how is Shruti going to be related to this word teaching? You say, in your mind, you say, from the teaching of the Shruti. So that's genitive. So there's a genitive relationship between Shruti and Shasana, from the teaching of the Shruti. Your mind just fills it in, right? But I would... There's a name for that type of a compound. It's called the Shashti Tatpurusha. All the compounds have a name. And that means that there's a relationship, a case relationship between the words. And here the case relationship is the genitive case. So the teaching of the Shruti. So I would go Shrutehe Shasanat. If I were to break the compound, if I say the word is Shruti, and shasana, there's no affects on shruti, right? Because it's a compound, so shruti, shasanat. For a compound, the ending is going to be on the last word. So, let me show you this, just so you understand a little bit. Okay, here's the compound. Shruti Shasanat. And the compound is being declined in the ablative singular, like Ramat. So do you notice with Shruti, between these sentences, a compound, all the words except for the last word will be undeclined. So Shruti has no declension on it, which means that you have to add the declension. So say if it was a Dvandva compound, that then you would read it from the teaching, the Shasana, and the Shruti. That would be a Dvandva. But actually, this is
not going to be a dwindle. That's not the natural breakup of this word. Because they're talking from the teaching of the Shruti, right? From the Shruti's teaching. Mm-hmm. So then if I were to do what's called the vigraha, means the breakup. To break it up into its component parts means we have to go and add the endings on. Okay, so the vigraha, if I'm going to do the vigraha, I would go like this. The genitive singular of Shruti, right? Like Mati, Shruti is feminine, but it's going to look just like Hari. Okay? Shrutehe. Shasana. Okay? Shrutehe, Shasana. So we do this. You're going to learn all the compounds in detail, all of the rules around breaking the compound, doing the vigraha. But the vigraha often, it just breaks itself in your mind because there's no other thing that it could mean, but still you have to know the rules. And so say if I do the vigraha of Shruti Shasanat, I'd say Shruti Shasanat iti Shrutehe Shasanat. Shrutehe Shasanat iti Shruti Shasanat. Okay? And so that means I put for you put the endings back in. And this type of a compound, it's called a tet purusha. You don't need to know this. I just want you to get it and have heard it. It's called a tet purusha. And that's just a particular, I don't know exactly why they call it a tet purusha. I think this itself is an example of a tet purusha, right? That person. Be a particular, this tet could have any kind of case relationship with the purusha. So it's called the Tet Purusha. And the Tet Purusha, what that really means is that these two words are put together by a case affix. In other words, this word could be in the accusative case.
Oh, it doesn't have to be genitive ablative.
It could be in the genitive. It could be in the instrumental. It could be in the ablative. It could be in the locative. Mm-hmm. So it's going to have a case relationship with this. Mm-hmm. Right? It could even be in the nominative, which would be, oh, this doesn't have to be, this should be shasana, part of the nominative singular. It could be anything. Here, this depends on how it's going to be in the sentence, the part it plays in the sentence. So the only thing that makes it a compound is this relationship between the two. The ending can be anything depending upon the part it plays in the sentence. So with a compound, you have to break the vigraha between these words where the endings have been left out. And often the vigraha, the breakdown, is going to mean you have to add a case affix here, right? And often that case affix will be something different than this, like the teaching of the Shruti, or the teaching the teaching from the Shastra, you know? Or the teaching in the house. So it can have different case affixes. Right? Do you see how this is the case affix of the genitive? So the teaching of the Shruti. Right? So this is called the sixth case, because Shruti is sixth case. So it's a sixth case Tet Purusha.
Yeah.
Because when I'm Shrushti, it means six. So when I break this, I'm putting this into the genitive, that means the sixth case.
But that's only you can identify with the sixth case only because there's two words in the compound. If there are three or four, can it then still be...
Now, the thing is, when we come to an example other than the dwandra, when it's three or four words, or five or ten words, you still have to do it two words at a time.
Okay.
Because a compound is made of two words. And then what happens is when you compound it, see, here's two words.
Mm-hmm.
You've compounded it now to Shruti Shasanat, or Shasana. Okay? Let's take the ending off. Here's two words. I've made a compound. Now this is one word. Shruti Shasana is now one word.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So this acts as one word in a sentence. That's why I can put this ablative case mm-hmm. on it, or any case. Now these two words can combine with two other words, or with another one word.
And
it feels like
that. The ending is still going to be the very last word of the last two.
The ending will always be the last word. Because the thing has become, the compound is only one word. It's one grammatical word in a sentence. That's why Sanskrit can be kind of difficult to translate. Because in Sanskrit, you can have many sentences within one sentence. Because a compound could be made of five or six words. It's a complete thought. And it's only one grammatical word in a sentence. So it's just like the sentences are multidimensional. So to try to translate them into one English sentence that's comparable is difficult. Okay? So let's look at this verse, and once again we'll stop here. Amanas twat name dukkha raga dvesha bhayadiyah. Because of not having a mind, because of being without mind, for me there is no sorrow or raga or dvesha or fear, etc. Apranaha hi amanaha shubraha ityadi. This, the one who is without prana, the one who is without mind, the one who is pure, thus, etc. Shruti Shasanat, from the teaching of the Shruti. So here the idea is this. If I say to you, because I don't have a mind, right? I don't have all of these emotions. You say, how do you know you don't have a mind? Because of from the teaching of the Shruti. In other words, I've been exposed to the sampradaya. I've been exposed to the pramana. So from the teaching of the Shruti, such as apranaha himanaha shubraha iti Shruti Shasanat, from the teaching of the Shruti, because of myself being without mind, I am free from all these things. For me, there is none of these things.
So so the quotation mark starts at the beginning, and where does it end?
It starts
right
before,
right before, from the teaching of the Shruti.
The quotation starts at apranaha. And you know, you can't always know where the quotation starts unless you know the quote. Mm-hmm. Right?
Oh, because that we're getting from the Mundaka.
We get it from the Mundaka, so we know where that is. Usually, by the way that the sentence is constructed, it is clear where the quote starts and where it ends. Like, for instance, the quote could be the first section of the sentence. Blah, 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 iti. Then the rest. Or it could be the last section of the sentence. Iti, blah, 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 blah. Then, you know, that's the complete quote. Or there can be, the first part of the sentence could be a phrase, you know, or a phrase that holds together to itself. So there would obviously be like a comma or semicolon, and then that's clear. So usually you can figure it out. Sometimes it's vague. Here, here it's clear because it won't really fit. It's clear because it's the first quarter of the second line, but also in the first line it says, because of, for me there's no dukkha, you know, etc. There's no dukkha because I have no mind. Then, this is a little quote that goes into the nominative singular. Apranaha himanaha shubraha iti. You know, etc. From the statements, from the teachings of the Shruti. So it's clear that this is the quote. But you especially know it because it's from the Mundaka.
Shubram is not
shubra.
Nominative.
Shubraha.
Doesn't it say shubram?
No, it says shubraha. It should say shubra. You have to add the visarga.
Oh, sorry, I have
It should say shubraha if you break the sandhi and add the visarga. Okay, for everybody?
So these two verses kind of go together, do negate the body and the mind.
Yeah, and it's even these next several verses are involved in this. But let's go ahead and stop there so we can do ours. If you have your Antoine, Brother Antoine, if you could go to, just have available to you. Yeah, go to page 115 on the Antoine. Last week, we spent a lot of time on the past, passive participle, giving all kinds of examples of it. I want to familiarize yourself, you all, with the infinitive of purpose, because it's very easy, and we can do some, I'll be able to say it in the, you'll know what I'm talking about when we come across it in the reading. So I want to tell you a little bit about it. If I said, I want to hear what you have to say, to hear. It's like the infinitive, you know? So infinitive of purpose, I want something, I want to hear, right? So I am able to do something. I am able to walk to the store. I am able to read the book. So I want to do, I am able to do. So that infinitive, to do, whatever the verb may be, needs a structure. It's called the infinitive of purpose. And it's indeclinable. So it's easy, right? So say, what happens is if you have a root like, for instance, G, which means to conquer, right? If I were to form the infinitive, and there's an ending vowel or a medial vowel, that vowel will take guna, and to that vowel, and to that root, you'll add tum. So tum is the, let me write that again, tum. Tum is the affix, indeclinable, and this is what I wrote on the board. Mm-hmm. If I have G to conquer, it will take guna.
This thing is called a tum?
It's called infinitive of purpose.
What does tum get to do with it?
Tum is the affix. Just a minute.
Okay. Just read the top of the line there. Oh. Okay.
We're going to put it like this. The root will take guna. There's an ending vowel. Plus tum. J tum. Just like in the past passive participle, some roots, which basically have to be memorized, some roots take E. Okay. Here, ending vowel U will take guna. Bo. This happens to be one of those vowels that takes E. O plus E is bhav. Bhavitum. So just like in the past passive participle, there's many roots that take, there's many things, that, many affixes that will take E. This is one of them. So if we follow the rule of bu taking guna, then we get bo plus E, bavi. What's o plus E? Sundi. What happens to O if it comes with E?
I thought it was
yeah. No, E would be yeah. But if this is O plus E.
Oh, right. Sorry.
What's O plus E? Of. O plus E is of plus E. So Bo becomes Bubby too. But whether you know all of that or not, you would recognize this tomb. Mm-hmm. And do you know the word Bubbity? Right? He, she, or it is or becomes. So if you saw Bubby Toon, would that make you think of Bubbity? So Bubbity means he, she, or it is or becomes. Bubby Toon would mean to become. I want to become a teacher, okay? I want to become something, right? I am able to become such and such. J Toon. G becomes J. Right, so you can always be seeing guna letters here. J tum, indeclinable. I'll give you some.
And how does that translate, J tum?
To conquer. Because G means to conquer. Mm-hmm. So this will mean to conquer. It's the infinitive of purpose. That's how it's declined. Okay?
Let me show you another. What about
if I just take the root pa? Pa, which means to drink. Here the all will stay the same. Pa tum. Easy. To drink. Indeclinable. Shru. The root shru means to hear. Like shruti, shru. What would the infinitive of purpose be? Shrotum.
But when you say like shru is to hear.
Shru, to hear. If that's
and the other one is also to hear. So
that's right.
So there's obviously a difference.
The difference is this, that when you have the raw root called the dhatu, that's always declined in the infinitive. Like a verb is always declined, is always defined in the infinitive.
Okay.
But you could never use this in a sentence.
Okay.
To use it in a sentence as to hear or to see, you have to use an infinitive of purpose. You have to use this. When you add this to mind, it's not declined, it's indeclinable.
So when you were, if I was to say, I am able to drink, I will say shrutum, but if I were to say, I am drinking, then I'll use the present first person, and so that would be...
That's right.
Me.
Yeah. Pibami. Actually,
let me show you that. What was the sentence?
I am drinking, so
okay.
That would be ahamshru.
Oh, pa-mi.
Sorry, ahampadami.
Except pa is unusual and it becomes pib.
Okay.
Obviously now.
So, but so say if
I am listening, so that would be aham shita. I'm here.
Well, you don't know Gesha Srinomi, but let's do pa, okay? What do you want to say?
I
am listening.
I am drinking.
I am drinking. So that would be aham pibami.
Pibami, right. And I'm able to drink will be aham patum. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly.
But do you need the aham in the first?
You know, no, because this, we're just being complete.
Right.
But actually, even without that, pibami just means I drink or I am drinking.
But you do need it in the second.
Well, here I even did this as a masculine samartha, if I did samartha to go along with the feminine. I am one who is capable. I am capable to drink, I am able to drink.
Mm-hmm.
And then let's see, I'll have to... So he has like this, patum, as a masculine, he went like this. I'll do it in the masculine, and do it also in the feminine, okay? So if I give patum to drink, okay? Sapartosmi, this is masculine, and then we'll do it also in the feminine. Patum samartho smi. I am asmi. Asmi samartha. I am one who is capable. Patum. Of drinking, to drink. I am, in English you say, I am able to drink.
What? Why does he translate it as I am unable to drink?
He probably said,
patum.
He said asamartha. He said patum asamartha.
Patum.
If you went like this,
someone tells me.
Look at. What does this say? If I broke the Sunday, what does it say?
Bottom. Well, why couldn't it just say the same thing? It could say bottom asamartho, but it can also say bottom samartho, right? How would you join
it? Says, I am able to drink.
Right.
This says, I am unable. The unnegates.
Or the ma is a full ma.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Yes.
Otherwise, it would be if you combine the patum and some of I am able to drink, that would be a half ma. So if you wrote the. Right.
Patum asamartha.
Becomes patum with a full ma samartha.
Otherwise, it would look like this. Like this. Patum samartha.
But you couldn't put those two together?
No.
The
here?
Top, yeah.
No, because it's not a compound.
You could go like this. I said, you could go like this. This would be
you
all
right. You just put a half mind in that. Right.
Except that before an is, it will go to anusvara.
Okay.
Let's just go through some. I'm really working for recognition here. Gum to go becomes gun tune.
No.
You take the root as it is. Gum becomes gutch in the
gachami.
Yeah, gachami. Gum becomes gutch when you're adding the endings. But when we're putting the tomb on, it goes right onto the root. Except the root will take guna. Buys its own guna. So now you have the plus two, sanji rule will make it gun tomb. That means to go. Okay? Adigam, the word adigam means to know. This comes in English and Sanskrit all the time, in Vedanta. Adigachati, he or she knows. Adigantum. To know. Adigantum. Tum. Okay? So now they have, here's an example. I could say, vidyam. I'm going to break this into here. I'm changing this a little bit. Agachati. Gach means to go. Agach means to come. Okay? Gach to go. Ah, not ah. It reverses direction. Gach is going. Agach is coming. So, saha, he. You could even say Ramaha. Then read this in masculine. Ramaha or Sita. This is third person singular. Sita agachati. Ramaha agachati. Rama comes. Adhigantum. To learn. Knowledge. So here's to learn. Now listen to this. What is this tomb called? Infinitive of purpose. So it can be to or in order to. Infinitive of purpose. Why does he go? I want. So it can be, I want to go. That's just the infinitive, but it can have the sense of infinitive of purpose, like, I want, I want to go, or I want to learn, or he comes, Rama comes, Rama comes to learn knowledge. To gain knowledge. Okay. So Rama comes in order to learn, right? In order to know vidya. In English, we just say Rama comes to gain knowledge.
But we couldn't then do adhikantu instead of adhikantu. That couldn't be actually declined as, you know, for purpose or
instrumental. It could. It could be. It could be done. You could put it in the dative case, mm-hmm. Right? For the sake of in order to. Yeah. But this is another way of saying it. Adigam means to know, to learn, to gain, to acquire. It has all these meanings, okay? So say in this sentence, acquire or gain is better. Ramaha agachati. Rama comes, adigantum, to gain something. Whatever is going to be gained is going to put in the accusative singular, or in the accusative. So Rama comes in order to gain vidya, knowledge, accusative. So to gain, in order to gain, for the purpose of gaining. These are all ways of translating this tune. And there are many ways, just like in English I could say in different ways too, right?
But when we have an infinitive, like I am able to drink, that doesn't imply an infinitive of purpose though, right?
It's just regular infinitive.
Yeah.
That's right. It's going to be either. Okay.
Look at a couple other.
When it's going to be either.
To
do something or in order to do something or for the purpose of doing.
That's right.
Something. All of this is the. All of this is infinite. Called the infinitive of purpose.
Right.
Okay.
Let's look at the different ways we can translate it. Okay, let me write it out for you. Tomb. What are ways of translating tomb? Just as one, just as the infinitive. To do, using do as the example. Verb.
Okay.
What's another one? In order to. Just as showing purpose. And the purpose. In order to. Sometimes it will work for the purpose of. But to or in order to usually cover the bases, right?
Can I ask you really silly? Mm-hmm. But the infinitive is always for, it implies that it's going to be put on a verb, a root of a verb, an action.
Infinitive of purpose will always be added on to the root, okay, to the verbal root.
Right, but it's always a verb. Obviously, it's not going to be added to.
It will always noun. Only be added to a verb.
So let me write that. Did everybody get this down? This is all said pretty clearly in your book. We're going to read it over after spend a couple of minutes reading it. I'm going to erase this now. So how is it formed? So if you take the tomb. So what's the first thing? One. So the root. Root takes guna. Root takes guna. What does that mean? Ending vowel. We say the root takes guna. What part of the root takes guna? Either the ending vowel or the short middle vowel. Right. And then to, then tomb is added to the root, to the root.
To the guna.
Yeah. The root, first the root takes guna, and then tomb is added to the root that has guna, has taken guna. Now, okay, this is really all clearly spelled out, but now I want to just tell you something else. I'm going to do a lot of practice on this next week, but I want you to be able to study this lesson 25, and then when we practice it, it will be clear. We spent a lot of time on the past passive participle. Thanks. You weren't here last week, and I don't think you were there. You were online, though. If, when we add, make the past passive participle, except for the gunation, but say if we had, like, boot. To know. In the past passive participle, because of Sunday, Buddha becomes Buddha. The past passive participle, Buddha, will take ta, and by taking ta, this then goes to the third of its class, would be Buddha, and this becomes the aspirate da, so you'd get Buddha. If this is what happens, if this Sunday, if this is the Sunday that happens in the past passive participle, then in the infinitive of purpose, okay, in the infinitive of purpose, this is the Sunday that will be there. Except that you'll take guna, you have guna. Buddhum.
Wait, but our root was Buddh. So why do we care about what the past?
What I'm telling you is we worked last week, you weren't here, Kiki. But last week we worked a lot on past passive participle. And I'm just reminding you that for Bud, the ta is added directly under the root, and this is the Sunday that takes place.
Mm-hmm.
If this Sunday takes place when ta is added onto the root, mm-hmm. the same Sunday will take place when tum is added on to the root.
Right. So it'll become both, and then both plus tum will become
both. Both tum. Right, so it'll be exactly the same. Right? Okay. See if I can find another. If, for instance, for bu, it actually becomes bhuta, because here there's no gunation, but here this will take guna, okay? It takes an bhavita, bhavitu. I'll have a lot more of these things to make it more clear for you. Shru. Shruta, passed as a participle. Ta is added on to the root. This one, it takes guna. Shrotum. But ta adds on to the root in the same way. Okay? In your book, I want you to, in your book, just so you can see something here, go to page 125. This is really, are you on 125?
No.
Could you be?
This is really nice. I have a whole bunch of...
Look at the first word. Everybody with me on 124? It's a 124. First word, ut. The present active means the present tense. You see it says ut to roam, and then in parents, it tells you whether it's the first gunna. It happens to be a first gunna root. It could be first, fourth, sixth, or tenth, right? It tells you it's the first. It shows you what the present tense is in the third person singular, atati.
So third person singular is implied?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And which is often, the third person singular is always going to be used as the example.
Okay.
So there, atati. Then it shows you, then it shows you how to form the passive. Now if you remember with the passive always looks like a fourth atmanapada. You take the root, you add ya, and then you add atmanapada ending. So you'd have at plus ya plus at yate. That's the present passive. We've used it. We haven't talked about it for a while. The next one is past passive participle, which we've learned. And here, at is one of those that takes an e. You add the ta, so atita. The indeclinable past participle you haven't learned yet. The infinitive, you're going to learn. You're learning right now. That infinitive means infinitive of purpose. And you can see, atitum. Okay?
And it just happens to be a root that takes an E.
Yes, and there's no rhyme or reason for it. In the Panini Sutras, they give you a list of maybe 100 or more roots that happen to take E before many of the affixes. And so they're called sate roots. Sate roots means together with an E.
So there are some roots like gum which will change form to gutch before. Like,
yes, and those.
Affix, and they will not necessarily take an affix for.
When there's roots that you learn, like for instance, gum becomes gutch, or pa becomes peeb, that's in the present tense, past tense,
right.
You know, in the declensional endings.
Right.
But or in the conjugations, but not in these. These are just working off the root.
Right. But then this is the counter example where they will remain the same in conjugational endings, but take a different form for past passive or infinitive, right? Like, what will remain under the
but there's no... There is not one of the unusual words. Like, there's very few words that change, where like gum becomes gutch, or paw becomes pee. There's a small group of words like that, and you have to memorize those words. That's not normal. Most of the words, ut is ut.
Mm-hmm.
So, atati, atyate, atitum, there's no becoming anything else.
Mm-hmm.
For those few words that become something else, then... that doesn't count when we're adding on these endings. That only counts in the present, past, and
present and past tense and in the moods. But listen, what I want for you, I'm going to teach you the indeclinable past participle, that fourth one over, which is also very simple. It doesn't decline. But I want you to be able to spot tums and twas and tas. And I want you to be able to say, when I say this is an infinitive of purpose, and you see, I'll say, see the tum, this is infinitive of purpose, and how that fits into the sentence. So I'm just trying to teach you recognition. I don't believe that it takes a lot of strain on your memory to remember tum. That's what I'm asking you. I'm asking you to remember tum. And I'll be at right?
This is a great chart.
It's a great chart, and I'll go through, you know, showing you how it works and give lots of reading examples of it and all of that. Now I'm just kind of spending a few minutes here introducing it so that you can have it in your mind. Tomb. 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 Oh, yeah, that's right, that's right. Let's stop here and take a minute. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.